fire up, are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
You must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hopple, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. It smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd starting to go wild. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again.
He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and
Chris Gayle.
As they fire up.
Hello, listeners. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Stephen, I'm very well. And just listening to that introduction,
yes.
A couple of the members are blowing up Deluxe, our Facebook group, which all are welcome to join if you
What's
go through
the issue,
Chris? Facebook page. There was a image that we posted in yesterday's game with, courtesy of Terry Ball, a rugby league ball covering the backside of one of the players, and put the Great Rex quote there, smacked his bottom with their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football. And a couple of long-time participants, Stuart Marlin and Ruth Livingston, said they listen to the intro every week for the wonderful memories it instills. And I just want to say to them and to you, you're a lot more patient than I am.
Oh, and I think it's better every week, Chris. It really does fire me up. I don't know about you. I hope you find out right now. Now, you know, what that other great quote, you know, where atmosphere goes to die, Homebush, right? Now, were you there when Cathy Freeman ran the 400?
Stephen, I was there.
Yeah, me too. Now, there was plenty of atmosphere that night, wasn't there? The opening, the closing, et cetera, 4,000 people, et cetera, et cetera. It does seem to have an atmosphere-killing sort of effect when there's only like 20,000 people max. We know that, you know, with, you know, local South Sydney, Canterbury, Bankstown, et cetera, et cetera. But I went the other night, as you went, to State of Origin. How was your experience at the very beginning of that night?
Well, Stephen, you talk about atmosphere and lack thereof. I was actually taking back to the 2000 Olympics, and this is kind of some sort of beautiful completion of a circle.
Mm.
I took my good friend Stephen Ray to the Origin last Wednesday, and he and I caught up an Olympic fever in the first week of the Sydney Olympics, went out to the Olympic precinct and found a little box office where you could buy tickets to events that were occurring that day.
A little box office.
Little box office, just there.
Okay.
And
lo and behold.
So in the wake of all the excitement of the first weekend of the men's 4x100 freestyle relay victory and Ian Thorpe in the 400 metres, we jagged ourselves two tickets to Ian Thorpe's 200 metre final against the Dutch speedster Peter van den Hoogenband.
Oh, we did.
Let me
like
say
him.
That again. Van den Hoogenband.
Hoogenbottom.
Yeah. And so there we were in the Olympic pool.
Precinct. Oh, the pool, yes.
In the pool.
The aquatic centre.
And you talk about an electric atmosphere, a charged atmosphere.
Right, right.
The finals that night started at 7. I've never been in a sporting arena so full of electricity at 7 o'clock. By 10 past 7, because the first race was the men's 200 metres final.
That was great planning, wasn't it?
And Thorpe, let's face it, ran second.
Yeah.
It was like you're on the moon. No atmosphere.
Nothing at all.
And I re-felt that feeling.
So you dared to go and see Cathy Freeman just in case it went all kaput?
No, I went there to see her win and win well.
Oh, you knew she was going
to
win.
And to quote the great Bruce McAvaney, she's got some work to do,
yeah.
And she did it.
Yeah. But that was just despite John Howard, wasn't it?
But that was my night last week. I was in this electric atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
And then at a particular point in time that we'll come to, it all evacuated.
Yeah, yeah.
A la Thorpe and van den Hoogenband.
Yes, exactly. What a moment. They're sporting moments. They're great to witness, I suppose. I went for the first time in 10 years as a punter.
And how was that for you, Stephen? Was it triggering?
Well, there was that remnant of Cathy Freeman, the old flame that was sitting on the grass there. And just nearby, there was a compatriot, a brother of mine, pumping up the volume with some speed metal.
Of course.
Local sort of metal band. And, man, I was actually surprised at how sort of, what's the word?
Buoyant?
Adrenaline.
Yeah.
There's adrenaline pumping through the place. And the food trucks galore. Everywhere you look, there's a food truck.
Oh.
Wash down a couple of beers if you could get it in the queue, you know. But I was surprised at the sort of the festival atmosphere, I suppose.
We went to the new fancy Lebanese joint they put up on level 2 at one end of the members.
Okay.
Prepaid, not cheap, yeah. But very tasty food. And yeah. We were in a good mood because they're a bit slow with our beers. So he said, hey, you're a bit slow with our beers. So they gave us two beers and then our original beers turned up.
See?
So
just like the Olympic fever.
And so we got four for the price of two. We right. took our seats, right. Stephen, yeah. expecting a yeah. spectacular game of football.
Now, before we get there, though, of course, there were lasers, blue lasers.
Yes.
Blue lasers everywhere. I've not seen that before. That was quite spectacular. Or have I seen that before? No, I have seen that before. And then, of course, the national anthem, Chris.
Well, let's hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, to honor America, will you please rise for our national anthem, sung tonight by Springfield's rhythm and blues sensation, Bleeding Gums Murphy.
Oh, oh, say. Can you see by the dawn and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting, suited off, popping way up in the
Dylan Wright absolutely nailing it out there at Homebush Olympic Centre there. Chris, I've never heard such extraordinary singing and ad-libbing.
It was absolutely fantastic. And if you have seen the replay like I have, Stephen, yeah. as you see the camera pan across the players, yeah. just in sync with him the whole way.
Were that the whole way?
The scatting, the bebotting, the register changes.
Every bit of scat singing that Ella Fitzgerald would have been proud of. I mean, it was just amazing.
Except for one person, Jake Dravojevich. He seemed confused.
He was lost.
A little bit lost.
And he got more lost. I get the impression that there was a sort of an American influence, perhaps, and I'm thinking maybe Beyonce.
Well, I can tell you this tradition is still going very much healthily and strong. As the NBA Finals on right now, and Game 2 yesterday in Boston versus the Dallas Mavericks, the American National Anthem was yet again elongated and stretched within mm-hmm. a centimetre of its
but
life.
But you can feel the effect of Cowboy Carter.
Yeah, I think Dylan Wright is the Australian Beyonce.
Right, okay.
And I think he nailed his colours yeah. to the mast in a rousing performance. Yeah. And I think that means we've established a tradition where I'll never actually have to sing along with the anthem ever again because I won't be able to.
No, we have no idea what he's doing. The Sheik from Scrubby Creek is back big time.
Chad Morgan.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Fire up. Rugby league. And God.
Chris, I was vindicated. I was in the audience having listened to what the next DJ would do to take over, or DJs, Troy and Johnny, whoever they were. They should remain nameless.
Yes.
You might remember a radio show many years ago, or maybe even CD collections that float around, Wild FM.
Oh, I've got a number of Wild FM CDs.
And what was
CDs?
The comment from some of your friends about who they thought, including myself, was doing the music?
So I can I say that my phone lit up like a Christmas tree, Stephen?
Did it right.
And the general tenor of the messages is, what the hell is going on? Has Ferris dropped a pill?
And it wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
And it wasn't me.
Oh, because I just said, I assume so.
Well, you know my brother, John, I was sitting with him. He loves his hardcore. He's banging. You know?
Yes, he does.
And I was looking at him, and I think he was sort of mildly amused that there were some tunes that were sort of not out of the realms of the dance floor of common day experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what the hell is this going on here? This is ridiculous. What is this music? It's appalling.
So I'm all of a sudden an angry man waving at clouds because it was ear-splittingly loud
yes.
for the first point of view. And then everything that we've been campaigning so many years against came to roost, but in techno versions thereof.
So we got the up-tempo and banging house beats to September.
Yes.
Love the song, ruined it. Sweet Caroline. And, of course, Seven Nation Army, thanks very much again.
And the best.
And the best, a remix of the best. Please, and really?
Like, nowhere near the end of the game or anything like that.
Yeah,
traditions were trashed, Stephen.
Chris, some people have no idea.
And I believe that there were some messages of support, and I actually answered, I said, based on what I'm hearing tonight, the only pill that Stephen will be taking is a cyanide pill.
Exactly. Well, I'm a bigger man than Chris. I've survived. I've moved on.
Well, how are we for the finals? Are we still in the mix, or have you...
Who can tell? Who can tell whether saner minds will prevail or not? I don't know, Chris.
It'll be interesting.
Talking of saner minds...
Good to see Steve Allen kept his job.
Didn't he sound good?
He sounded magnificent.
Big voice.
But I was waiting for... I tell you what he didn't say... And
world's famous.
World greatest DJs tonight.
That's
here.
Right. That's
the mantle remains with you, Stephen.
You didn't get that classic In the Stone by Earth, Wind & Fire?
No.
Oh, well.
There was very little social commentary
yes.
going on in the tracks that were selected, I would argue, in terms of context of game and situation.
Of course, you were there sitting on the edge of your seat, waiting for, I would suggest, two of the best looking men in the business to go head to head. And we're talking here about Rhys Walsh.
Yes.
Joseph.
Swa'alihi.
Yep. Coming head to head. And like 7 minutes in.
So I was on the players' entrance side, Stephen, in level one, about 15 rows back.
Close.
On approximately that 30-metre line.
Right there for you.
And what I caught in my eye was that Rhys Walsh was trying to do the quick pass a little bit more effectively than Teddy Tedesco subsequently in the game.
Well, Teddy should look out, shouldn't he?
That's right. And in doing that, swept his body and on the dewy surface, which was identified by Freddie Fittler. And can I just give a shout-out to Freddie Fittler? You talk about you. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
For being there, going and having to endure your replacement.
That's right.
Freddie the same, replaced by Madge.
Yeah.
Was he hiding at home? No. Were you hiding at home? No.
We're bigger men than that, Chris. Yeah.
And he said it's a bit of you on the surface. Yeah. And Rhys, in doing the quick pass, has obviously slipped. And he's diminutive to begin with, Stephen.
As you know, Rudolf Nureyev. Richnikov, would have happened to them as well.
Justin Bieber.
If you move too fast and you take an angle the wrong way on that dewy surface, you've got to slip and slide and you've got to lower your centre of gravity. In that point, a man much bigger, Joseph
Swa'alihi,
just happened to go in with arms around, ready to wrap him, around his body. Uh-oh.
Possibly one shoulder slightly ahead of the other. And by the way, Jamie Redfern, he'd slip as well. And and then there was an almighty...
Crunch.
And the next
Stop
thing we
the
saw...
Nation.
The heartwarming scenes of Queensland players gathering around Rhys. They're thinking, okay, we're in trouble here as the game continued until finally.
And they went, conspiracy writ large. Here we go.
We knew this was on.
This is what they've been planning.
This is what Billy has been talking
about.
This is
what they wanted. Yeah. And as I say, Tommy Rodonicus, come on back. Come on back, son.
We thought that the game had evolved and there's no way that there'd be this unmitigated violence left in rugby league. Well, they were sorely mistaken.
Okay, so the whole, how many people? 77,000?
77,000.
Yeah, scratching their
touch
heads.
Over the Matildas crowd.
Okay. Fair enough. Their flavour of the month. State of Origin's been running for, what, 1980?
It's 40 years.
Okay, so we're all scratching our head going, what's Ashley Klein going to do now? You know? So what does he do? He doesn't make a decision straight away. He goes on the telephone service.
Correct. So what happens is the game continues until there's a six again awarded against the Blues. Yeah. And at this point, Ashley is worded up in the sports ears that we're all wearing.
Oi.
Yeah, there's an incident.
Something going on.
Yeah.
Someone's not getting up. Yeah. Pretty boy's not getting up, as well, I say. I didn't say that.
Now you did.
I'm just quoting. Yeah. I'm just quoting some greater minds than myself.
Well, you're quoting the likes of Spud Carroll.
I was talking about Joseph Su'alii.
Spud Carroll. Well,
they're both Prince Charming.
If the term...
They're both good looking.
Ian Rock, I don't know if you caught the hatchet job on Rugby League done by Media Watch last night, but... Ian Roberts has said that there's a derogatory sense to the term pretty boy.
Yeah.
I feel it's a bit of shame because otherwise we would have been talking about the Battle of the Pretty Boys.
You must remember the song, Are You Pretty Things? Come on now, Chris. We're around long enough to see this thing go round and round and round.
On Hunky Dory, Bowie's album.
Exactly.
But I think you described it as the Battle of the Princes.
The Princes.
And I like that.
The heir apparent.
Yeah, it basically was a Game of Thrones situation out there.
Regardless of the code.
That's right. Neither of them is a dragon, mind you, but boom.
No.
And so the game is blown up and stopped.
Deluxe.
And there's been the official feed, which has been AI generated, is Klein goes, I'm taking this seriously, I'm going to send him.
Yes.
The actual feed to the bugger was, that didn't look good, but I'm not handling this one. What am I going to do?
Pass the hot potato.
So the bunker goes...
Maybe Abdo?
No.
Abdo.
The bunker originally, they go, hang on, 70,000 people here. The TV ratings are coming
in. And they pay good money. Well, yes. A couple hundred bucks a ticket, Chris.
That's right. I certainly pay good money for the Lebanese. 3.44 million watching.
Yes.
We're not on this one, so we go to a higher authority.
Bit of pressure.
You mentioned...
Peter Volandis?
That's right, Peter Volandis.
Go to him.
Yeah, they bypass Abdo. He's got no say.
Okay, so what does Peter say?
Peter goes, this is a big occasion. This is the showpiece of the game.
Yes.
So we've got to go to a higher authority.
A higher authority. Uncle Nick.
Uncle Nick Politis. So the issue here is that Uncle Nick has, essentially he's got the nuclear codes, right?
Yeah. He's got the little, pick the lid up and he's got the big red button, has he?
Yeah, the Kithra conspiracy. You want to talk a conspiracy? We've identified the Kithra conspiracy, right? So he's deciding whether sin bin, because I think everybody's in agreement that there was some form of dismissal involved.
Yeah.
So it's either sin bin or off.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I would have thought, given the commercial context and the fact that Origin is refereed differently.
We all know that, Chris. And even people don't follow league get that.
And people have paid. Well, there was a high hit by Liam Martin hit Bruce Walsh the first kick of the game and he was still in the air. Should have been a penalty. Maybe a sin bin. That there's a consensus that it's probably better sin bin, right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, personal politics got involved this day.
Can I also say there's only been, what, 6 sin bins since 1980?
Six send-offs. But they're generally, Craig Greenhill was the previous most early send-off at 65 minutes. There's never been a send-off at 7 minutes.
Never.
It's going to ruin the fabric of the game. You're either going to see the greatest win in Origin history or a 99% chance that Queensland are going to win. Unfortunately, as we'll hear here, when Joseph Swahilihi went to Nick and said, I'm going to rugby, we caught this bit of the meeting.
But now you come to me and you say, I'm Corleone and give me justice. But you don't ask with respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me godfather. Buonasera. What have I ever done to make you treat me so disrespectfully?
So what does he do, Chris?
So there's a lot of angst with Swahili departing the Roosters.
And let's not forget that Big Nick is a Queensland supporter.
Exactly. And then if you actually go to the press recently, Joseph had been quoted as saying in relation to the reported fact that he had told Nick that he was returning to the Roosters after 3 years in the wilderness of rugby union. I honestly have not said anything. Nick says that all the time, which is good to hear that he wants me at the club.
Nice.
He's a good man.
Yes.
He's a godfather. And I respect, having learned from that previous meeting we just heard, everything that he's done for me and the club.
Yes.
But I honestly have not looked that far ahead. In other words, Joseph has said that Nick Politis is a liar. Ooh. And with the initial disrespect.
That won't stand.
The departure to union. Those words in the public arena, he goes, you're off.
Right, okay. So you don't think Ashley Klein was influenced by some of the greats of rugby league and their sort of homophobic, dinosauric attitudes?
A la the Spud and Benny Elias about we're going to eliminate the pretty boy with his painted fingernails and
conspiracy from Queensland.
Frosted eyebrows or whatever it is.
Yeah.
No, none of that's real, Stephen. That's just frippery.
Yeah, and that's selling the game.
That's right. That's what I thought media watch missed that point, that you put a picture of Reece Walsh with his eyes rolling in the back of the helmet going, it's a knockout. A, you're selling papers, and B, you're getting punters through the gate for game
Chris.
Two.
It's all business, Chris.
It's
so then Ashley Klein gets out his big shotty, right?
He does.
And he goes, okay, there's Bambi. Boom. And there's Father Christmas come along. Boom. Kills them both with two shots, Chris. Probably. Just ruined the world for everybody. Ashley Klein, thank you very much.
Probably reloaded.
Kiddies are in tears right across the country, Chris.
And took out the Easter Bunny.
Oh, I know. And these are bolting, because there's one under that stadium there, isn't there?
Well, the reality is that a lot of people now follow rugby league. And I met a couple of young girls of a friend of mine yesterday. And they go, I'm a Broncos fan. And I go, let me guess. Reece Walsh. And they go, absolutely. They're following the player.
I'm with them.
And I have to say, in a weird way, whilst it was tearing at the commercial fabric of State of Origin and puts the whole thing up for potential derision and concern, parents all around Australia said, great, he's gone. Now the kids will go to bed. So there was less irascibility at school the next day because the kids were
rested. We lost 2.4 million viewers straight away. Everybody knew the game was done and dusted there and then. We knew it straight. We were there. You were there. We all knew it, right, Chris?
When he, and I love how he goes to Jake Trbojevic in particular, he goes, don't say a word.
Yeah.
Didn't you see the Klein chest just slightly puff out a little bit going, like this, This is my defining moment.
And the finger went out?
Because like Christy Noem, the governor of South Dakota, who's prepared to take a puppy and a goat out to a gravel pit.
And then do the job. And write about it.
Why? Because they're prepared to take the tough decisions.
Yes, exactly, Chris.
Ashley goes, direct contact to the head, you're off.
Right.
That's when Jake, off!
What do they call those specials in betting? Was there a special on that to happen?
You mean like a multi?
A multi, I mean, yeah.
An exotic.
Right.
And an A-League, I think they're now calling them.
So Joseph does the slow walk to the jeers of half the crowd, the applause of half the crowd, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, did you not just feel the whole life of the being sucked out of the arena?
Yes, exactly.
Like, I actually had to order some oxygen
from
my member seat.
Yeah. So, how much they charge you for that?
About $69 a cylinder. Yeah. Right. Because okay. I was feeling giddy and lightheaded.
Yeah.
Right. But yes, there they were. I mean, there were pockets of Queensland supporters going, justice is done.
And you know those high-end, high and mighty sort of Queensland fans that all believe that everything's deserved for them?
Do I?
And there's a bloke on the sideline. He sort of had a really big head, box head, I think they used to call him, Nate Miles. Nate Miles turns around, gives him the full jest and goes, enjoy your Michael Lucking debut. Straight at Joseph Suaalii, right? Now, this is – can we just pull that apart for a second?
Well, yeah, we should, because Joseph turned around and looked quizzically in the direction of Nate Miles because he had no idea who this guy was.
Right. Now, I had a bit of a dig around. We've done this before, but I think it's just so much fun. Nate Miles, boxer, what a great performer he was. And he did use his head in ways it shouldn't have been used.
Well, it was punched by Paul Gallen and hence
eliminating. That head's looking at you.
His was the head that stopped the punch in rugby league, so we've got him for blame for getting rid of the biff.
Did you know he was actually banned from State of Origin?
No, tell me. I don't know that.
For an off-field misdemeanour after being suspended for 6 matches over an alcohol-related incident. Now, that's underselling it, okay? An alcohol-related incident that left fellow hotel guests disgusted and appalled and prompted the NRL to fine the club, the Roosters at the time, $50,000 following 3 similar issues in as many weeks. Now, I was there that night, Chris. I was actually at the junior footy night when... And it was all Willie Mason's fault. Willie Mason encouraged poor old Nate Miles. Had no idea how to handle his grog, unlike Paul Kent. Got him tanked up. And then we're off to, I can't remember the name of the nightclub, at Terrigal.
I'm aware of the incident. I'm not aware of the ban. I thought he was promoted to vice captain after this.
Right, okay. So it was later discovered that he attempted to gain entry into a room of a family which was leaving its accommodation. So he couldn't
Matthew Lodge style.
Yeah, he couldn't figure out where he was, who he was, where he was going, how to get in, how to get out.
Just if I'm getting this mental picture painted correctly, Stephen, it's you, Nate Miles, and Willie Mason.
That's
on
right.
The grog,
yeah,
the three
yeah,
of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Up to the three amigos.
And you know what? The music at that nightclub was just like the footy the other night. Exactly the same. So what does Nate do? Nate goes, I want to go to the toilet, as you do.
Sure.
He doesn't wear pyjamas, Chris. You know that.
Who does?
Right, who does? And he likes to sleep. A big hairy bloke, nude. Opens the door, walks out. Oh, shit. He realises
so
he's locked himself out in the corridor. And then I think he tries the next room, and that's where he finds his family absolutely horrified. Big Nate Miles, nude, drunk, you know, God knows what stuff was coming out of his holes, you know. And then he goes to another door. It's the fire door, isn't it, Chris? He goes out into the what do you call it? The pathway, you know, the outway.
Yeah, the stairwell.
Stairwell.
And don't tell me the fire door clunked shut.
Of course it didn't. It shut down. And there's no place to talk, you know, no alarm button to press. And he goes, oh, bugger, now I'm cold. But he proceeds to sort of go to the bathroom on the ground. Whilst he's there. That's the nicest way to put it, Chris.
Look.
The nicest way I could possibly put it.
Stephen, I can't laugh too much because I can identify with this.
I've been in
a very, very similar situation with a similar outcome. Yeah. So
that would never happen under Robbo, would it?
No.
No, never. No,
no, no. They'd all be dialed in.
Yeah, dialed in.
And also Robbo has surveillance technology on all the room doors.
So I don't know if there's any CCTV footage there, but it was later discovered that Miles, who was found in a fire escape, had also defecated elsewhere in the hotel corridor. It just gets better, doesn't it, Chris? You know, after a meeting, he was given the longest suspension ever for off-field behaviour.
More so than our patron saint, Mark Gasnier. And this is the calibre of person that Billy Slater has in his coaching staff.
Exactly. Giving a gobful to the very, very honourable Joseph Suaalii, who probably has never done anything like that in his life. Can you imagine? You know, and then Mal Meninga said that he went from the penthouse to the outhouse at that point too. He's the first player banned from Origin for the off-field misdemeanour for that Central Coast Hotel because they had to clean up the mess too.
Yeah.
He didn't do it himself.
No.
No. Now, that's not all, Chris.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No. Oh, and the mid-range driving offense, drink driving offense, he was fined $10,000, half of which was suspended in order for him to carry out charity work. He also went alcohol counselling, which is, you know, not uncommon in this business. Pulled over by police by Melbourne Cup function with his teammates on Tuesday of that week and registered a reading of 0.120. Now, what does that say?
Is that high?
I think it's pretty high, isn't it? Oh, and there's more, Chris. And this is what I didn't even realise until just recently. Shortly after boarding a Qantas flight in Sydney that particular year, he allegedly asked his then teammate and Muslim, Hazem El Masri, this is when he's playing with Canterbury, I guess, if he had a bomb strapped to himself. Didn't go down well with anybody. Didn't go down well. So.
Particularly, he's in an exit row as
well. You might say he's lived all this stuff, so therefore he's got a right to give a bit of shtick.
Look, I think that what that reads to me is veteran experience, Stephen. And he's entitled to...
Vindictiveness, I'd say.
Have a little go at Joseph as a bit of a babe in the woods.
Joseph stopped.
Yes.
Gave him a cold stare.
Yeah, well, and then went, quizzical.
I'm a bigger man than that. Walked on.
Yeah.
And then he apologised, of course, but...
Well, we'll come to that. But one of the things that, unfortunately, with Ian Roberts suggesting that the term is questionable, we can't really make reference to, apparently, and former PWA heavyweight champion, we have our King of the Metro Rumble this Friday.
This Friday night, at
the Metro Theatre.
I'm going. Australia.
I know, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Ricky South alerted my attention that there were a number of memes channeling the Seinfeld Keith Hernandez episode where Kramer was supposedly spat on by Hernandez and the immortal words came out of human. Nice game, pretty boy. But I can't say that.
Can't say that. No, you don't say it. No, right. And it wasn't you anyway.
It wasn't me.
And it's not your go.
By the way, did you walk out of Acor Stadium at the end of the game on Wednesday night and think to yourself in regards to New South Wales, that wasn't us out there?
No, and you know the first thing I did, we're looking for Jake Trbojevic. He went missing. So we'll talk to that about a minute. But there was a couple of comments, and one of them that came to light was Terrell May commented on Sua Lihi about his dramatic Blues debut by saying he was disappointed that to let his brother's family in the state down over a high shop. Now, what was his comment, Chris?
Histed.
Histed. What's that mean?
I think he was making reference to poor old Reece Walsh.
Yeah.
And that led to fans hitting back saying that Terrell May and the May boys...
The May boys are really
checking
fire
history.
At the moment,
like, Terrell May's the good guy, right? Yeah. The three of them. It came back and said his comment was out of pocket.
Right.
And another called him a gronk.
Yeah.
And
a gronk, eh?
And when his spelling of he's as H-I-S was criticised, the 25-year-old shot back, have fun at work, bum, which has forever been known as the Luai response, I believe.
Yes, right. Now, we're going to have to reboot that T-shirt that's got the rankings of insults in rugby league with pest and grub, et cetera, et cetera.
The atrocity meter.
And grog. We've got to reboot the whole thing again, right? Grog. And he's dead.
He's dead.
We've got more stuff about this event this night, haven't we?
We do.
Back in just a moment.
Could somebody please help me? Because I still don't understand. For 12 long years I've wondered what origin means in Queensland. The dictionary says it's where you arise, where you begin. So let's locate some of the origins of this year's Queensland team. Let's look at Kaufusi, Coates, Marm and Piakura. Where is Auckland?
That's in Queensland.
Where is Port Moresby?
That's in Queensland.
And where is Newcastle?
That's in Queensland. Queensland's everywhere.
Queenslanders say they play with more state passion and state pride. They don't believe in man-made borders. They think Queensland's a state of mind. I've learned Queensland hates New South Wales more than New South Wales hates Queensland. But how can that be when so many Maroons come from New Zealand? Like Sua, Nanai, Tuolangi. Where is Christchurch?
That's in Queensland.
Where is Henderson?
That's in Queensland.
Where's Odahuhu?
That's in Queensland. Queensland's everywhere.
And so it seems that origin is still not what we thought. And from day one, the Queensland women's team has got in on the rort. Karina Brown's Victorian, Leta Dootsie was from Moss Vale. Rona Peters was a Kiwi fern. Taryn Aiken's from New South Wales. So let's look at Aiken, Hollyman, Tamara and Marto. Where is Gosford?
That's in Queensland.
Where is Launceston?
That's in Queensland.
Rotorua, Whangarei!
That's in Queensland.
And where is Bowerville?
That's it, Queensland. Queensland's everywhere.
One more time with gusto.
Queensland's everywhere.
Just like to apologise to all the sponsors, all the fans out here, family, my girlfriend especially. It's just been a tough week for all the wrong reasons, and I just look forward to getting back out on the paddock in a couple of weeks and repaying my faith to you guys.
He's a big man.
Beautifully spoken,
yeah,
young
thanks,
Joseph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he'll go well in rugby union. They love that sort of stuff.
Did he miss anybody? I don't think so. He didn't say
the game.
Nick Politis, though, did he?
No. Uncle Nick definitely missing. And did he apologise to the game?
Yeah, well, I suppose if he did that, it would include Ashley Klein, wouldn't it?
He thought the better of it and didn't do it.
I'll just shut my mouth now. Just get out of it. Okay. So he's gone. He's in the was on the side of him, was he? He must have been in the back rooms.
Joseph.
Or was he on a train?
No, he went. They actually do have a little area that was being curated that night by Nathan Cleary, who's still scared to go home, even though I got it wrong that Penrith didn't lose to him.
Sleeping bag?
Hall of mirrors. Yeah. There's a room of mirrors, and it's polished, and the players are asked to go into that room.
Oh, so they've got to get the bottle of Windex.
That's right.
And the rug, the rag, and then spray it clean. Have a good look at yourself.
And exactly. That's the word comes down from Madge. And in fact, on each mirror in the New South Wales room of mirrors are the words, have a long, hard look at yourself.
Yeah. Sport. Good hope.
Okay. Great leveler, Stephen.
Now, at that point in time, was Jake Trbojevic on the field or off the field?
He was on at that particular point, Stephen. Yeah. But look, as we've already highlighted, the country and western version of the national anthem.
Through everybody.
And Jake in particular.
In particular, yeah. He likes it's pretty straight up and simple.
Yeah. He was clearly there.
Yeah. Disoriented.
When Klein wreaked his havoc because he was there going, off, off.
And what? You can't be serious.
And after 25 minutes, Madge took him off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was nearsighted.
He realised Madge knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was too much head noise going on for Jake. There was a plan.
Right.
And that plan had been torn up.
Right.
And plan B did not feature Jake.
Right.
And he, at some stage.
People, hang on, wasn't he the captain?
He was, but they looked down the bench and he couldn't be found.
Right.
Because they would just say.
So that's where Joseph went.
That's right. Sent.
Joining Christopher Columbus.
As identified by Des Hasler. But to me, he was more like Scott of the Antarctic.
Looking for the lost man.
Jake Trbojevic was out on the icy tundra, freezing to death.
And then they found him.
Yeah, but he was shell of himself. He came on 5 minutes ago. It was a cameo, Stephen.
Right, okay. I think he played the ball the wrong way, didn't he? Those wonderful moments.
I mean, it's tough because he's a nice guy and he's very proud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not a great day for the debut New South Wales captain.
I hate to say it, Chris, but as a St George fan, I had a pretty good night.
Is that right?
But only because, not because we lost. Not because we lost to Queensland, and not because Ben Hunt plays for Queensland, but we thought, if Ben Hunt can do that, surely he can do something with our team.
Mm.
And Lomax, man, oh, man, talk about commitment beyond the call of duty. He was single-handedly trying to save that team from destruction, 12 men only.
Why is it that every game at the moment, Zach Lomax is writing an essay as to why he is a winger?
Yeah.
Given that he's heading to Parramatta.
I know.
Who are struggling at the
How
moment.
How did they go last
to
night?
Be, is it? Well, they're struggling, Stephen. I believe, I think they tried to make the mistake like the Broncos in the 2015 grand final. They got up and they tried to tackle their way to victory, Stephen.
Tackle their way to victory.
And they missed a couple.
That works
and the
every Dogs so got often, them. But yes. Okay.
You've got to stay positive.
Right.
And, and I'll credit New South Wales as they tried to stay positive, but they got beat.
Look, I'm not sure about the ins and outs of the contracts of Zach Lomax and Parramatta, but seriously, Chris, less money, what position, where's the team going? You know, have they got a new coach coming in? Anybody?
Parramatta, well, you know, outside of the square, Michael Checker, front runners Jason Riles and Josh Hannay.
Right.
Gus Gould last night reviewed those three league candidates and said, yep, you need someone to supervise them over the top. So Parramatta in a world of hurt right now, Stephen.
All right, now let's get to the press conference and I guess the coaches.
Well, first of all, it looks to you and me that Cameron Smith,
we thought was the most evil man on the planet,
has been overtaken by one Billy Slater.
How evil is Billy?
Let's have a listen.
Do you feel that New South Wales made a point to target Reece illegally with that hit?
I have no idea, but I'll keep my feelings about that to myself.
You can ask one more. Did you feel it was send off cessation? That was the right call to send Joey off?
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you? People don't care what I think, did you?
People care what you think. And underestimate yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about hubris, Chris.
Huge sledge at the media, Stephen.
Wow. And people care about you. That was a backhanded compliment, wasn't it?
Yeah, newsflash, Billy. Media pays your salary, my friend.
Yes.
Right. But secondly, the genius of the man to, in relation to the send-off,
yeah,
simply keep his feelings to himself, thereby adding fuel to the fire.
Of course.
That this was a conspiracy authored by Spud Carroll and Benny Elias.
Yes.
Put into the hands of Madge Maguire, forced, I don't know at what sort of situation, by gunpoint, by the Wallers, including Dave Trotton at the New South Wales Rugby League, and poor old Joseph's the fall guy. He feels like Cameron Bancroft in Sandpaper Gate,
yes,
Stephen.
Yes, yes.
That the whole thing was intended. And Billy doesn't say, well, Gordy Tallis was really magnanimous, I think, last night on 360, said, oh, it was an accident, yep. Maybe.
Maybe. Right?
It's all there. He's, by not commenting, allowing the conspiracy theory
to fester. Didn't Cameron Smith say something similar?
Well, this is it. I mean, if you're out of the game long enough as a player and you're amongst friends and good, decent people like the rugby league media.
Good, decent people.
You start to become more human.
Yes.
Smith goes, wasn't a send-off.
Has he still got a tail?
Shrinking, though.
Shrinking tail.
Right. Whereas Slater says, you know.
Can I call him Silent Smug Slater?
Look, they say.
You know that phrase, better than.
Oh, my God. And this whole thing about how much film he watches. Right. So he's leaving in everyone's minds that this could have been absolutely deliberate. But he's not saying that the send-off was correct because they might change the rules to allow an 18th person to be activated after a 20-minute sin bin, which might benefit him in the future. But he's creating this persona. No one knows these Queensland boys better than I because I watch so much film in his little screening room. A, that's creepy.
Yeah.
B, he's Howard Hughes.
Yeah, and also he's probably, every time there's a disaster in Brisbane, or Queensland, I should say, he's there at the front. Unlike Scott Morrison, he's got the hose. He's got the helmet, you know. He's got all the trowels to dig people out of slides and stuff, you know what I mean?
He loves the expression pile on. And I don't know if you noticed, but he sort of had the Queensland corporate shirt on and the chinos, and then there was
chinos.
There was a little bit of tissue paper left over the fact that when he's in the film room, he's got his Kleenex boxes as his shoes as he bottles his own urine.
Howard Hughes style.
Right. But listen to, because forget, as we highlighted last week, Ubuntu and Dis, they're in the trash can, yes, Stephen.
Yeah. Dialing.
It's a more indigenous style we now get from Billy.
I'm always proud of this footy team. You know, the way that they prepare, the way that they carry themselves. They're a credit to themselves as leaders of our state, and it's not just me. I could imagine what 5.5 million people above the border there are feeling about their footy team, and pride would certainly be at the top of the list.
Now, Chris, is that 5.5 million with the second head or without the second head?
Well, I have to go to the most recent census, Stephen, to actually get the breakdown of that. First of all, is it above the border, across the border, over the border? I don't know.
No.
But
there's something different happening over there, apparently.
But this is, we're doing it for our state.
You know,
we just want Queensland to be the best version Queensland can be.
And, of course, Queensland's do it tougher than everybody, right?
And to that point, did you notice after the dismissal, it probably will become known as the dismissal.
The dismissal part two.
Right.
Like, Gough, forget him.
I mean, the whole evening was Whitlam-esque.
Yes, you know? Yes. Oh, yeah. But dare I say Old Testament?
If Nick Politis is not Australia's current version of Sir John Kerr.
Yes.
Anyway, Billy came down to the sideline and he was very, very obscure and obtuse when asked about it.
Well,
actually
walked out of the box. No coach does that during the game except maybe Ricky.
Yeah. Right. Because he can't help himself.
Can't help himself. No. A
couple of times Ricky goes in the box, he just goes, nah, he's out.
Shut up. Don't
So he comes down and he calls over Hammer.
Yeah.
And he has a word in Hammer's ear.
Has Hammer scored, what, 8 tries already?
Oh, yes.
Whatever.
And everyone's theorising he's gone, they're vulnerable on the right, no Crichton, go that way. What he actually said is, tell the boys, since kickoff, 3 more floods have occurred.
Right.
There are 2 more droughts.
Oh, yeah. Fire?
Yeah, it's fire.
Pestilence, bugs.
That's the code.
Locusts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cane toads streaming
in. Mines collapsing.
Streaming into the Logan suburbs.
And you know, I bet the Wombats have got mange too.
That's right. And simply, we know Queenslander.
Yeah.
Billy Moore, thank you very much. We know Cattle Dog, thank you very much, Tommy Radonikis.
Yes.
The new motivation call, a la dial in for Robbo and the Sydney Roosters, all Hammer had to go out under instructions from Billy, was get the boys in a huddle and go, pestilence.
Pestilence.
And
done.
They do it for the 5.5, give or take a head or two.
Done.
Oh, in some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. Now this little song, it's more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ear. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind. Sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes me feel mellow.
Oh, that is so pretty. Isn't that beautiful? Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much, and that vodka puts my mouth in gear. Oh, this little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer. Yeah, thank you. My wife often frowns when we're out on the town, and I'm wearing a suit and a tie. She's sipping vermouth and she thinks I'm uncouth when I yell as the waiter goes by. Hey, I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind. Sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Sounds like the Mormon Tabernacle football team, doesn't it?
Yeah, the jolly good fellow. Well, you can take two of those words out because Kenty, either Ben Eichen's spot, you know, his booth at the game of the night, or outside the Sackville, jolly good. A fellow, sure, but not jolly good.
I thought you were going to say take out the word of the Tom T. Hall song, I Like Beer, and call it I Love Beer.
I love it. I really
love
it.
Yeah, but that was Kenny was at Origin in the QRL's embrace, a la former 360 co-anchor Ben Eichen.
Now, look, you know, I know you've been giving Kenny a bit of a hard time, Chris, and look, let's face it, many great Australians, famous legends of the country, and I'm talking about Bob Hawke with his, you know, his meter glass or yard glass, what it was called.
Did you see last week that a group of Oxford students recreated skull record?
See.
And they wanted to say it was 70 years since it happened. That's
70 years? Well, not that old.
It gives you pause to reflect, doesn't it?
And then, of course, David Boone on the flight from Sydney, back in the days when it took 24 hours to get from Sydney to London.
Well, what you're tapping into here, Stephen, is that Paul Kent, there was a hearing on Friday, and we obviously...
hearing?
Yes, in the court, they want this matter to play out, and we all wanted to play
What's
out.
What's this matter, Chris?
Well, this is the Afrayan assault charges.
Paul Kent versus the tree?
Well, there are three parties.
There's
the other protagonist, which is a bloke, and the tree. Let's not forget the tree.
Okay.
But evidence was led in that initial hearing that Kent had consumed 21 schooners on the night, and it just raises... A comparative analysis, Stephen. Where would you be after 21 schooners?
Well, we just worked that out, and that's 9 litres, right? Well, I'd be going to the bathroom, I'd imagine, a few times.
My urologist said...
If I could walk.
With kidney stones, drink 2 litres of water a day to pass 2 litres of urine. I imagine 9 litres of beer probably generates more. Kenny would have been hydrated. Dehydrated, that's the first thing.
Oh, totally, yeah.
But the Boonie...
That would have fetched your head.
Yeah, but the Boonie measure, the Boonie standard...
Yes.
And he, for many years, claimed this was untrue and made up, but he's now admitted that
he's come good, come clean.
And he said... I was stupid, be great in rugby league.
Yes.
52 beers on the 26-hour flight to London.
It's amazing how wisdom comes with age, and
so that's
which I'd never done it.
An hour. Yeah.
But he was
26 hours.
Revered for many, many years.
Well, I mean, I believe that's what he got his Order of Australia for.
Are they perhaps putting up a statue of Kenty somewhere? Maybe up at the meth lab? Is that possible?
No, but they might be putting
it's local.
Might be putting a plaque at the Roselle tree.
The Roselle tree. Oh, a plaque at the tree. Okay. Now, we looked into this tree. It's a broadleaf paper bark, otherwise known as Maluka quinquenaria.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful tree. And it did nothing. It wasn't its fault.
It was just standing there.
Just standing, minding its own business. And there was Kenny flying through the air upside down, apparently cracked 5 ribs, but somehow he got to Origin with 5 ribs cracked and I think a buggered lung.
Stephen, I'm no doctor.
No,
in fact,
you're not.
But I know enough that you can't do anything about ribs. They just have to heal. So is it good for you to be sitting at home stewing in your own juice?
Or going out to Origin.
Or going out to Origin for a corporate function.
So it's in a Queenslander's box. But let's face it, I have broken one rib in my past. You can't laugh. It hurts to bugger. And you know what? Kenty doesn't laugh. Well, even though he says the funniest guy in rugby league.
I'm not saying there'd be much entertaining to laugh out of the Queensland box, but he's smart enough to surround himself with winners, Stephen. And I hesitate to bring up the fact that
winners.
Ballyhale Stubbs was cited at Queensland training in the week leading up to Origin.
Well, he can say he's a winner. I don't know about Kendi at the moment.
And he went on record with Adrian Prezenko and said, I tipped Queensland to win by 30+. And when I said, you nailed it, Bradley goes, no, it's 2 points out.
Man, he's a stickler, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a perfectionist.
Okay. I don't want to lay any blame at the pub, of course, Chris, but you imagine there'd be CCTV footage. Awesome mates would go, hey, mate, that's 21 schooners. That's 9 litres. You sure you should be going home with that tree?
The first question is, who are your mates, Stephen? And look, and again, we don't get too far into this other than that the establishment involved, my understanding is Kenny had a regular spot there. It's a little bit like he's a high roller.
Yeah.
And look, I'm sure they had the appropriate checks and balances.
I'd say he's probably
place.
Acclimatized to the grog.
Yeah. And look, if recovery involves how many steps it involves, but one is owning your mistakes, I feel buoyed by the fact that he led the evidence of the 21 schooners.
Yes, yes.
He could have kind of, you know, tried to gild the lily and say it was only 18, my lord.
No. But I think there's a longer-term plan with this, isn't there?
I think there's always a longer-term plan, Steve. let me tell
you. Your Majesty, Your Honour, you know.
Yeah, let me tell
I'm
you.
I'm an alcoholic. I'm sorry.
You know how we highlighted last week that a head of tradies are yoga teachers and wellness consultants?
Oh, God, yeah.
Crisis managers.
Oh, yes.
We're having to import a lot of those.
Yeah, yeah.
And I reckon it'll be coming handy for you and me at some stage.
Oh, geez,
in the not too distant future.
Let's not get too smug here like Billy Slater.
That's no? right.
Okay.
Stephen, on that,
and that,
I'll just keep my feelings to myself.
What do you think?
About what?
Anything. You ask me, what do you think?
Oh, what do you think, Stephen?
There's the beautiful game, the sloppy game, and then there's the rugby league.
Now, Chris, I know that you've been dodging, shirking, you know, running across the road, running away from me when it comes to the big game, St George. Illawarra versus the West Tigers on the weekend, down at the gong. It was the ding-dong of the gong.
If you throw in the preseason, Stephen, you've resecured the Fire Up Cup 3-blot.
3-blot.
Yeah.
The Fire Up Cup, what's that look like? Does it hold 21 litres?
It's more beaten up than the Winfield Cup when Laurie Daly broke it after the 89 grand final.
And just a moment, just a little gloat.
Please.
Ben Hunt. I mean, he was pretty solid after 2 days, I think. What, Wednesday, Friday? Yeah. Zach Lomax. Now, how many points did you score, your team, West Tigers?
14.
14, right. How many points did Zach Lomax score in the game?
32.
32. What more can I say, Chris? That was a stellar performance, wasn't it?
Listen, while you're gloating, I notice here that Dragons winger Michaeli Ravalawa has apologised after he was sent off, dismissed, Swatalisal, for calling a match official a Carmichael Hunt in the dying stages of the New South Wales Cup match on Friday night, Stephen. So it wasn't all.
Mate, come on.
It wasn't all roses and Valentine's.
What about his mental well health, his mental well-being? Come on, Chris. He's under pressure at the moment, under the pump.
What I'm concerned is whether the Dragons are going to stick by him or whether they're going to withdraw the Ravalawa bobbleheads from sales, Stephen.
Yeah, but look,
kudos to you and your team. Flano, let's face it, he's come under the microscope here.
Can we just say Flano and Dean Young?
Yeah, they've done well. That's
They're the two together.
Yeah, and
it's a double act.
Anyone who can turn Kyle Flanagan around like that needs some form of
whilst bleeding
warm applause.
Yeah,
kudos to you. We've got trouble at the Tigers, Stephen. I actually
tell me about it.
I actually wasn't at the game because I had an opportunity to go to see Furiosa, a Mad Max saga.
Yeah.
And we highlighted in this show or on this show, Stephen, that you start each season with hope and hate in balance.
Yeah.
And by simply the hope draining away,
yes,
the hate comes to the
it
fore.
Rises, doesn't it? Yes.
So we've got issues with Utu Kamano and Lockie Galvin, but I want to assure everyone that I am diligently working at the coalface at the Zurich Centre. And I'm relying on this little bit of wisdom I picked up. Now, it's near the end of Furiosa, but it's not really a spoiler. But if you don't want to listen to it, 20 seconds, let's hear how hate can solve the Tigers' problems.
Okay.
Remember me.
You crawled out of a pitiless grave deeper than hell. Only one thing's going to do that for you. Not hope. Hate.
No shame in hate. It's one of the great forces of nature. That wasn't hope, that was instinct.
So I've spoken to Richo.
Yeah.
Take your instincts to the bank, Richo.
Yeah.
The way that the Tigers crawl out of this pitiless grave in hell is embrace the hate.
Embrace the hate. Now, just a question here, side question. I haven't seen the film yet. Was that Ian Roberts? It sounded like it could have been Ian Roberts. Or was that Mel Gibson?
It was.
Or was that Russell Crowe?
You keep going. It was It was Chrissy Hemsworth.
Right. Can I say two suggestions?
Bulldogs
for,
fan.
For 2025?
Yeah.
Jerome Luai is coming.
Yes.
And also Peter Costello. He's got great form of tackling. What do you think?
Let me tell you, the wags amongst us, Stephen, said that we combined judiciary hearing. Both the paper bark tree and Costello are up on shoulder charges.
Ah! Who's going to win that one? I think Pete's a bit rusty, is he?
Look, I don't know if you know Canberra Airport. Like, by the way, in the Women's Origin, it was again referred to one of the Newcastle players. Tasha Gale said she knows every blade of grass on this McDonald Jones Stadium. It's just not possible, right?
But it's a bit slick and
wet. But I've been to Canberra Airport a lot, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen an advertising placard.
A placard. Not a bollard, a placard.
He's tripped over.
Bunting. No. Like,
It was improvisational. It was almost performance art by Peter Costello, but I don't think it was true.
I know he's not a tough guy, but he's about 6'3", isn't he?
Costello?
Yeah.
Oh, he's, there's no argument about forward. Costello. I mean, when you're treasurer, Stephen,
exactly.
You've got to have a little bit about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, you know you do wrestling, right?
If I'm cutting welfare payments.
What are the
if I'm prepared to shoot a dog.
HGN, what do they call it? The pelican circuit?
Yeah.
The donkey circuit?
Yep.
I don't know. And they get footy players to do it. What about ex-treasurers? Paul Keating, Peter Costello together in the ring.
That'd be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be great?
Well, what would you call it? The Battle of the Budgets.
Wonder what they'd wear.
Johnny Howard was treasurer under the Fraser government. I don't know. Well, I don't know. Ric Flair still turns out in the ring occasionally at the age of about 83, so maybe Johnny Howard could have a go. He's your number one ticket holder. Can I just bring that up again?
I'm going to say Brian Brown.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not Ravelara.
If I keep saying it, no, it's not Ravel. No. And what about Ravel's doll, the bobblehead?
Yeah, the bobblehead, yeah.
What's happening with that?
That's what I'm saying.
Is that on sale?
Well, they might be withdrawn right now.
No, I think they're collector's items. They're selling hotcakes.
The Tiger's got an Appy Coruscant bobblehead, Stephen, I bobble it with pride.
You know what? He was working pretty hard, but I tell you what, that I'm glad we got rid of that Sullivan chap.
Bud Sullivan.
He's a little nut, isn't he?
Well, I think Richo was over in the UK recently shopping certain players around. Bud might be one of them. But that was the previous regime, Stephen.
I know.
That gave the Utukumanu
hope and hate.
You want to hate something.
Yeah.
A contract that says that you can leave the club early if you don't make State of Origin and we don't make the semi-finals.
Unbelievable.
No wonder we're hating.
Yeah. Come on, Shane, get it together. Now, who is it true that the hectic block of cheese might be shopped around?
So he recently signed an extension for 1 year, and then all of a sudden it's all blown up, Stephen, because he missed, get this, Coach Robinson's mid-season review.
How many reviews does he have? Just one?
Well, this is the thing. Like, what we see in the press isn't always the truth, Stephen, and I know that's a shock to you.
Mm-hmm.
But the trouble with Robbo is he does a review every month, right? And that's the Roosters' way.
Yeah.
And you got to feel for Brandon Smith on this occasion because he's forgotten that the review is on. And he's probably entitled to because there's so many of the damn things, right?
Yes.
But there's an issue, this breach notice being issued. Luke Keary saying we have standards. The old guys have authored these standards. But the good news is, Stephen, that he probably isn't being shopped around because he's got a friend. He's got an ally, and his ally is Victor Radley.
Oh, Red Miss Radley.
Red Miss Radley himself.
Now, they didn't join those two coppers that threw the water bottle at Ashley Klein, did they?
You know, I was there. I saw that incident. And it was surreal.
Because you could see the red mist.
I could see that. It was just, we're all bathing
in it. And what is the block of cheese? Does it exude mist? I don't know if it does.
Well, no, cheese is actually absorbing bacteria out of a moist atmosphere.
As it stays,
so it's kind of absorbing
inert.
It.
Yeah. Yes.
Those two coppers. And one of them was claiming that his daughter had been pushed.
Yeah.
And to the security guard.
Wait, Ashley Klein?
He said, she's underage. Yeah. Well, Klein was a referee.
Yeah.
The Melbourne game. And then she comes down and goes, I'm 17. And I'm going, so showing whether you're pushed or not, doesn't matter what age you are, it's still being pushed, right?
That's right.
But anyway, they've two coppers, Roosters fans, gone.
Yeah.
But Radley says Brandon will have to learn the hard way, which is a mistake because he needs to learn the Roosters way.
Of course, that's right.
But here's something that'll just lift your spirits, Stephen.
Oh, I can't wait.
Radley said the incident will serve as a wake-up call.
A wake-up call.
For Smith, who wants to repay the side for failing to meet team standards as defined by Luke Keary.
So he's let him down.
Yeah. Mm. And Radley goes, it's a kick up the ass for him.
Yep.
You can almost see he's got a haircut and a shave.
Uh-huh.
He honestly looks like, you know, I'll be on for the rest of the season. Right. So there's no need to panic at Roosterland, apart from the fact that C.O. Wong wants out.
Yeah.
Manu is leaving. JWH is retiring. Swatali is going to Rugby Union. You better win it this year, boys.
Yeah, and Big Nick's consumed by hate at the moment. but he's a hectic block of cheese. I mean, surely he can't perform well.
No, and there was confusion as to whether he'd slept in, according to his manager.
Oh, yes, the excuse why he missed it.
Yeah, or he was out to breakfast with his partner and left his phone behind.
Or just didn't know.
That's the,
or didn't care.
Well, Rob would be one of those, there's emails coming in every 10 minutes about the next thing and diary things ringing off and Outlook invites and whatever.
Yeah.
It's more than an average hooker can manage, Stephen.
Look, I think that we could take note of what the Bulldogs have been up to recently, because I know St. George, Illawarra are torn between two locations, with the heartland being the Cogra sort of southern suburbs down near the airport.
Well, the heartland of St. George.
The heartland of St. George.
That's opposed to the Illawarra heartland.
I'm getting to the Wollongong one, and they've got a few things going for them down there as well. So it's great. They come together. We played, you know, six games at each, and then one at, you know, that beautiful $1 billion complex that the Roosters pay out of on their own, right?
Yes.
And I think
the People's Stadium.
Sometimes I think you've got to invest, because from my understanding, that St. George never owned Cogra. The council owned.
Still do.
Charged like a wounded
Hunter,
bull.
Was it the Georges River Council, I think it is?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And it's not even managed by us, and the food's crap, and the queues is just rubbish, you know, as opposed to some places like Allianz Stadium, of course, where you can get whatever you want, whenever you want, you know, no queue. So, the Toxic Swamp, Cronulla, they're smart, you know, bought up the place, put up some units, still haven't finished the job, but they'll get there. But the Bulldogs have bought a shopping mall.
The Bulldogs have purchased a $50 million shopping centre.
It doesn't sound a very big one, does it?
In the Hunter region, Rutherford Marketplace near Maitland, and it houses a Woolworths store and 20 specialty shops that pay a combined $3 million in rent.
And they've taken over running the joint.
Yeah. Lee's Club Deputy Chairman... Hang on, you'll have to forgive me here. Jim Koutsalakis.
Okay.
I think I've said that correctly. He says, we're looking at a 6% return on our investment from the start.
Yeah.
But if everyone drinks 21 schooners a day at our bar, we'll make that
7%. We'll make
that back. Yeah, so the great news is not
only... So they've got a big blow-up Kenny at the front of those saying, come on here, 21 schooners.
Yeah, at Gus Gould's Tavern.
And if you get to 20, you get the 21st free.
21 is free. Okay. It's a loyalty card there.
And no trees.
Would that
no
work?
Paper bark.
Well, it's a shopping centre. There's no greenery to save
that's
your
right,
life.
That's right.
And would it be an RSA issue to actually have a loyalty card that gets stamped every time you drink a schooner? I can't see a problem with that.
No.
And they say this is all about...
Has that ever been done at a pub?
Well, it should be. Hello, Laundies, we're available.
Yep.
This is all about safeguarding the long-term future of the Bulldogs and the licensed club for our members. So there's a shot across the bows they might be moving from Belmore up to Rutherford Marketplace near Maitland.
Near Maitland, okay. So it's near the wine district.
Yes.
So you're assuming that there'll be a grog shop of some sort?
Yeah, you can get an Anasta Shiraz there.
Anasta Shiraz. Gus Gould, is he involved in that? Does he serve behind the counter?
Yeah, Gus Gould would be the licensee.
Yeah. He'd be a red wine drinker,
That's
wouldn't he?
That's right. Yeah. And then liquors would be Willie Mason.
Yeah.
He'd be responsible for the spirits.
Now, of course, who let the dogs out, right? There's got to be a pet barn, right?
Well, there's
Petto.
There's a pet barn and a veterinarian.
A veterinarian.
The trouble is, when you go in there, the only pets you can buy are bulldogs.
Yep.
Though I hear there could be a chihuahua coming.
Ah!
and then you take your...
What's that bloke's name?
Reed Marnie. And you take your cat, your Burmese, in.
Oh, no.
For its shots. They say, sorry, we only serve bulldogs here.
Oh, I see.
There's a risk of pet apartheid here, Stephen. Yes. I'm worried about
it. You've got to sign away your rights if you leave your cat there.
They have two rival... Because, you know, they call it the hottling effect, where you end up with two businesses of the same nature right next to each other.
Ah.
And you can either go into Grubs R Us.
Yes. Or pests.
Well, you know, channeling Dennis Carnahan here, simply the pest, right?
Simply the pest, yeah.
So they've got two exterminators next to each other, one run by Josh Reynolds and the other one by Michael Ennis with his apprentice, Reed Marnie.
Yeah. Not that is she a senator from America with the pit where the dog
Chrissy
goes?
Noem. She'd fit right in.
Fit right in.
And particularly for an exterminator. I mean... That's the slightly uncomfortable thing, because she hasn't really polled well by saying she shoots puppies, but yes. An exterminator specializes in ruling out bulldogs. Yeah. I don't know.
There's a clothing shop, of course.
There's a clothing shop, yeah.
The Fox.
The Fox. Oh, let's
Bestest
trot.
Bestest man in rugby league, right?
Terrific.
Let's trot.
Yes, let's trot.
I like that. I would shop there.
You should shop there.
Has Mick Ennis got any involvement in any of this?
Yeah, simply the pest.
Simply the pest, okay, right.
And there's a farm equipment being, you know, in the Hunter Valley.
Bobcat.
You can buy a Bobcat from Andrew Ryan.
Bobcat from, you know.
In Bulldogs colours.
What else? What about food? We got all sorts of. Well, Canterbury Bankstown. It's the home of Ramadan, the great outdoor food.
We love
festival.
That.
We love that stuff.
And,
yeah.
And so, because it's diverse and inclusive, there's what we would conventionally call a butcher, Terry Lamb, of course.
Oh, Terry Lamb, yeah.
And then a halal butcher, Sonny Bill Williams, and fantastic. Has him.
And what about the interim coach, Baz? Has he got a job? Is he just watching him where he's going next?
Based on his career, which seems to be very itinerant.
Yes.
He's got an outdoor furniture store, Stephen, because he knows a little bit about that.
Mate, it's all in blue and white.
The whole thing.
Are we hearing music, Canterbury Bankstown style, all day long, all night long?
That's right. Okay. And then you walk into the entrance.
Who's the DJ down at Canterbury?
Well, it used to be Davola, but he's long moved.
Well, now
on.
He can get a new job.
There's an opportunity there.
Yeah, and right in the middle next to the fountain, right?
And they're repurposing when they run onto Acor Stadium. 45,000 people there yesterday. It was impressive.
Pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah.
You walk into the centre through that inflatable bulldog head.
Right, right. Okay, Chris Scale, that's been wonderful. On a little sadder note, how's Parramatta going?
Not well, Steve.
Not well, okay. Fantastic.
Another
King
reason.
King Gutho.
We used to do a segment, Another Reason to Dislike Parramatta. Yeah. They're giving plenty of reasons themselves.
Now we're nearly halfway through.
Well, do you want to hear King Gutho? Just as a little bit of a final.
What do we got?
Reflect the Birdo's back.
Yeah.
Should be an origin. Yeah. He unleashed his array of bombs. And there was one that just went skyward just before half time, and Gutho just said, he had rather an amusing reflection on that with Al Arapit.
Those Burton bombs, how terrifying are they?
Well, it's good. It's a challenge. That one got the best of me. I got the other couples, but you just got to keep backing yourself and close the eyes sometimes as well.
Good luck in a second. Thanks.
Thanks, Lara.
Birdo's bombs, eh? Well, what about that 40-20?
Yeah.
Eh?
Let's take those bombs down to Melbourne.
Can I talk rugby league?
We have been for about an hour.
Okay. I'm going to ask you, who do you reckon, if your team's not going to do well, just assuming, who would you be going for the end of the year run?
To win the title?
Top two.
Oh, right now, I find myself always tending to agree with Gus Gould. I actually believe that the two standout teams at the moment are the Panthers and the Storms.
Okay.
But I actually think the X factor, the team that could win it all, other than Penrith, who would still be my pick, is the Sydney Roosters.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry to spring. Sorry to rain on your parade, Stephen.
I know.
Who do you like?
Top eight. On that note, I'll say farewell. Bye.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!